Welcome to the Quantum Creator Summit Series 9. I'm Helena Riley, and I will be your host. And I have a very special guest today, as we have realized that the clearing of our emotional patterns are extremely important in clearing the way to the quantum field. And in order to enter the unified field, we've discovered we need to clear many, many aspects of our human experience without judging them. And Mira Kelly is our guest today, and she is an extraordinary past life regressionist and a coach. She is a consciousness architect, international speaker, best-selling author, and the author of the 18-language international best-selling and best-loved books, Beyond Past Lives. She's worked with hundreds of thousands of people from all over the world individually and through her many programs, products, and workshops that are available at mirakelly.com. She helps to clear the emotional patterns that have been weighing us down for centuries. So without further ado, I'd like to extend a warm welcome to you, Mira.
Hello, and thank you for having me. I'm so happy we're back together, and I know this is going to be another riveting conversation.
Yes, we like to deep dive. So what has been coming out is, so we're going to deep dive again, folks. So what's been coming out recently is the appearance from the subconscious of our past life patterns and in relationships. And what I'm starting to notice is that the awakened ones, the ones dedicated to their awakening, are recognizing people. And there could be a great deal of pain and trauma and repetitive patterns. But in many cases, it's uneven because the other party is not remembering. How do we work on this, and how do we deal with this?
What a good question. fascinating topic to dive right into it. And you see, usually these things come in love relationships most prominently, right? Because when it's work, we take it a little less personal. We take it a little more, well, I can go get another job, even though this boss is triggering me and I feel upset. But when it comes to romance, we take it really very deeply. And the simple answer to me is, if I have the remembrance, then it's serving me, right? In other words, if I am seeing the connection with the person, then there's something for me to work with. And I don't necessarily need them to remember in order for me to get the most out of the connection. But you so beautifully pointed out, it's always fraught with emotion and conflict and difficulty getting to that place of, I just want to be happy with you. I just want to enjoy my time with you. And so I love approaching this subject from a couple of places. First, definitely understanding the bigger picture of that relationship by doing a past life regression and diving in and understanding why this specific pattern with this person, because we know that we are a different person with different people. I'm one person with my mom. I act differently around my sister. I act differently around a friend, right? They bring different parts of me, if you will. So naturally, when I'm in a connection, in a relationship with someone, they bring something specific out of me. So understanding that through past life regression is very helpful, but also understanding that they are just an opportunity for us to clarify ultimately what is it that we want, and to know our own ultimate power and vision for what we want in our relationships.
Well said, beautifully said. And when the emotion, and I noticed on your site working through abandonment and betrayal to love. Yes. So when the emotions that are coming up, though, are complex, don't they need to be discussed with that person? Or do you feel that just we need to work on this in inside ourselves. What have you found worked best?
Oh gosh, I mean, obviously discussing it with the other person is a mature grown-up thing to do. But I say we start with ourselves because everybody is a reflection of us, if that makes sense. Yeah. So if I recognize that I am the one who is asking my own reflection in the mirror to smile back at me, it really is better that I start with myself, right? And so that's why I was speaking of, let's figure out our own patterns and clear out our own, if you will, karma, even though I'm using it very loosely. I don't mean karma is punishment. I mean just patterns through lifetimes. And then obviously communicate with the other person. But first, most importantly, be clear, what do we want? Where do we stand? Who we are? And to be prepared that the other person might not always be able to play full out with us, right? I have a friend who has been so generous with her wisdom with me. And one of the things that she loves saying about her love life is the name of this person, right? Whomever she is in a relationship or in love with or wanting a relationship with, or better, right? Just the wisdom of, let's call this person John or Mary. So John or better, Mary or better. And because that's really the ultimate journey. It's really the journey of us.
Brilliantly and wisely stated. And this is a very key distinction because in this time, to use these experiences to catapult our growth is a very different perspective, to realize this may feel familiar, but I'm going to be more discerning, this or something better, or because it was the past doesn't mean it's the present future.
Very true. And you spoke of abandonment, and so many of us have abandonment issues because, you know, even if we had one loving parent, doesn't mean the other one was on board, or even both of them knew how to express love in a way that we wanted to be loved. And yet what I have learned from personal experience and working with so many people is that, first of all, we set up the stage that way, right? Our soul wanted to have that uncomfortable mix of experiences so that we can learn from that experience. So we intentionally chose that family, that environment, those people who most likely probably would have messed things up for us, right? And yet eventually we always get to the place of learning that abandonment is always us abandoning ourselves, right? So first and foremost, and at first growing up, we see the reflection of our parents, our caregivers, not loving us the way we need to be loved. So we think we're not enough. And so then we start doing things like overgiving, being responsible, being the one who tries always to be in control, needing to meet other people's needs. So eventually they'll come around and they'll say, oh, you've been so good to me, let me love you. But life doesn't work that way, right? And so this is where we start learning and saying, wait a minute, I'm in a relationship with my dad. Oh my God. Obviously not literally, but the patterns, the most challenging pieces of what I couldn't deal with my dad is showing up in this lover. So I'm really here to heal my childhood wounds, right? The parts of me that didn't feel loved by dad, but also to see how I can transform my own giving to myself. Because you see, we're only lacking that which we don't give to ourselves. And that's the thing that we don't really recognize when we are in this pattern of trying to get the other person to love us or to get back former lovers in the hope that, you know, we can get it back to that honeymoon stage and we can be together again. But all along, it's always been for the learning of recognizing that I am here to give myself that love, and then everybody will reflect that back to me, right?
Brilliantly said. Yes, exactly. The universe is a mirror, and we look outside of ourselves instead of realigning what's inside of ourselves with love and with the unified quantum field. And that is the place of expansion. However,
And the quantum field is a very generous place. It's always a yes. It will always give us everything we want, right? So as long as we observe something, it always collapses into experience. So so it's really wise that as we're talking about the quantum field, to recognize that we start, we lead, and the universe follows. We lead, and our lovers follow. We lead, and money follows, right? So I'm so happy that you're putting together this conversation, because as the series, because as we clear those patterns, not only do we become more conscious of creators, but we get to create better experiences. And ultimately, isn't that the most satisfying thing?
I love that. And so when you, and I'm going to just recap a little bit, when you see reality as a mirror, the quantum field is very generous in that it's going to reflect quickly. It's going to kick you out quickly if you're in the past. It's going to reflect you, who you really are, by sending you the experiences that will reflect that state. And when you're shifting, it will send new experiences. And here's the thing. Do you feel the quantum field works so quickly that most miss the nuance? They miss what's being reflected in the 3D reality as a reflection of the quantum field, really. Most are missing. I think most are disconnected. Do you feel that way?
You asking this question is so pertinent to my own personal life, because literally right now you're finding me today in the middle of this conversation at a time when there's a tremendous quickening in my creation of reality, to the point where the night before I'm thinking of something with strong emotion, and the next day it collapses into experience, and I'm thinking, oh my God, instant manifestation is something to be, you know, something yes. to be very clear on, because it requires tremendous personal power. This quickening, this quantum surfing, this quantum jumping, it requires tremendous personal power and self-leadership and self-control of what am I thinking? What am I feeling? Because, you know, in the moment of me thinking those strongly emotional thoughts, I wasn't thinking what the quantum field will deliver. I was just thinking about my own emotional confusion. And then the next day when it all collapsed, and it literally collapsed out of nowhere, in this particular example, I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. But then again, this is very encouraging, because then, oh my God, I can manifest things very fast when it comes to the positive, right?
Absolutely. So this is a key distinction in this entire summit, that as things are speeding up, and it's one of the reasons why the clearing is so important. So if we need to do past life regression or just sort something out with someone, as things are speeding up, the reflection gets faster and faster. As you become awakened, it gets faster. And that's where, so humanity's actually poised on the brink of, if we don't realize this, we can create catastrophes so much more quickly, or at least challenges that are coming from us and projecting them outside. And this is one of the main aspects of this Quantum Creator Summit, and I'm just realizing, is to get this message out, that as things quicken for humanity, as the veils thin, as the planet shifts, your manifestations become nearly instantaneous as you awaken. And if you are in a state of, you know, confusion or negativity, that quickens. And what would you, do you think that's a little scary for people? It occurs to me that that can be, there it is. I was afraid of this and it happened. Is that
and the opposite is equally true, right? Because I'm also finding myself thinking about the things that I want, just very sincerely feeling the big joy, the big moments of joy and excitement and celebration, and it happens. And so all of this is really becoming very much, you know, like the chariot card in the tarot. Which way do you go, with the white horse or the dark horse? Which horse leads the way? And yet the chariot is the card that makes those, you know, symbolizes those big life transitions. So it's all available and it's really exciting. And I love that you keep coming back to the clearing of the pattern, because if I'm not aware of my own patterns, I keep manifesting messes. And then I say, but it's their fault. Why is it never working out for me? And yet the clarity of my thought and the intensity of my feeling are the two things I know for sure. So then what are those? Are they the thoughts I want to think? Are they the feelings I really want to attach to? And then the game becomes of how quickly can I disentangle from the confusion, and how quickly can I really allow myself to believe in the biggest way possible into the positive, right? Because that's really... Yeah. That's really very significant. So let me tell you a story. So the other day, I was with my partner and we were having dinner together. And in the middle of us having dinner together, he was sharing a very significant thing that was happening for him. And meanwhile, my assistant was messaging me and saying, TikTok disappeared. Your account is gone. Where's TikTok? And so now the normal thing that would have happened for most of us is to panic and to go and be like, oh my God, we have a problem. Instead, I said to her, I cannot look into it until tomorrow morning, because I know that this man and this relationship is a priority for me, right? I am choosing to be here. I'm choosing to be with him. And besides, what can I do late at night about TikTok, right? And so I said to her, please don't worry. It's all going to work out. And please keep calm. I'll do the same. And that was it. I put down my phone. And then I went and I was with him. I was fully present. And so then eventually I'm in bed and I'm falling asleep. And as I'm falling asleep, now I can actually think, right? Now I can be with my thoughts and my feelings. I have the space. And so I simply asked myself, well, what do I want? And I created this very clear outcome in my head of, oh, I just want the account to be there. I don't want to start a new one. I don't want to deal with the TikTok customer service of what did I do that was wrong or right. And the feeling was easy. I just wanted to be easy. And so I sat there and I really allowed myself to feel the feeling, because you see, the old way of living life is working on problems. The new way of working with life is working on potential. And that is the difference there is. So I didn't sit in my bed. I didn't lay in my bed thinking, how do I solve the problem? Should I, right? Because I got the notification from TikTok that my account has been deleted for violating community standards. And I'm thinking, what community standards? What are they talking about? And how and why? Right? Like, what have I done wrong other than talk about spiritual things on TikTok, right? And so I was so clear on the emotion. And so the next day, I simply logged back in and the account was fully there. Nothing was ever wrong. The account was there. So now I'm thinking, how did it happen? Because the logical mind doesn't have an answer. But the creative mind says, well, yeah, but you were very clear on the outcome and you clearly felt what you wanted. And there was no doubt in my feeling of what I wanted. Is that making sense? I wasn't saying I'm powerless, I'm helpless, I'm going to lose my followers, I'm going to lose everything I have built over the past year. I didn't say any of it. I work with the potential and I was so clearly with the feeling of the potential. So maybe this is the most I can give as a very simple practical tool to those who are listening. Working with the quantum field is all about you holding the reins of the potential, you being in your personal power, you being able to so strongly know where you feel that there's no room for anything other than what you want.
Oh, I love that. I love that, because it's so true that if you had held the space of fear, the outcome could have been completely different. And so many people get into, you know, they'll bash social media and say, you know, we're in censorship, you know, at a time. So you could have gone such a different direction. And I love that. It is, and it's about holding the presence. So you held the vibration of your teaching. Okay. And the reflection came immediately, which is, that's a very poignant example of the responsibility. However, I do want to state that with the preponderance of negativity in terms of, you know, certain judgments and polarizations, it becomes more difficult, which is one of the reasons your beliefs about yourself and the future are all contained in the field. And so, and they will be quickly reflected so you can change and shift and transform and create a new life. Here's the challenge. 95% of our reality has been created by the subconscious mind. And so if the subconscious, so let's say your abandonment issue got triggered. I just got abandoned by TikTok, if that's possible. But this is why, so what do we, and you're not aware of it. This is the quandary. And one of the reasons why we're having these conversations is, my own thing is, try to become aware of it, because this is what's going on the earth plane. Is playing out our subconscious, and we're not aware of it.
Yeah, most definitely. I really love what you said. Yeah, it's really about awareness, because the moment we're aware, we can change, right? Because yeah. Now it becomes a choice. Until we're aware, it's a habit, and we keep going with the same pattern over and over. But the moment we're aware, now it's a choice. Now we can use our tools. Now we can see the bigger picture. Now we can understand deeply. Now we can really allow ourselves to shift and change. Yeah.
Yes, and find the potential that exists in that field. And if we look at TikTok as another part of the quantum field, what is the quantum field reflecting right now? It could be self-judgment. It could be anything, actually. But if you look at it as a reflection, that you have the power in that instant. And this is the problem. In my experience right now, so I'm just processing this at the moment, is that there's not much of a delay. There's not much of a pause button that's getting pushed. We used to have like hours, days, weeks, years.
I have to tell you, this is wildly exciting for me, though, because my personal goal for myself is to move and change very quickly. Yeah. My personal desire for myself is to very quickly become aware and very quickly shift and change the energy. So to me, the speeding of things is wildly exciting, because then the only thing I got to work with is Mira. The only thing. Right? Because yeah. If everything is a reflection of me, then I can drop the outside world. And if the quantum field or the universe or God or whatever word we want to use for it is always a yes, because then the only thing I need to worry about trusting is myself, right? I don't need to worry about trusting other people. I don't need to worry about trusting the universe, even though I have created this mantra for myself years ago that I trust myself, I trust the universe, I trust my life. In other words, I really trust that everything is going to work out. But if it comes down to basics, the only thing I got to work with is me, myself. And then really, again, if we lower it to another level, it's really my subconscious. And so when I think of my subconscious, I have a very different attitude than a lot of people. I think of my subconscious as my best friend. I think of my subconscious as a giant on whose shoulders I'm standing. We are one. Me and my subconscious are one. I don't see my subconscious as a dumb basement where things get stored and it has no choice. I see my subconscious conscious as a partner that is very much conscious in a way that I am not conscious, right? So in my conscious mind, my ego mind is focused in the physical world to do the job that the subconscious is not capable of doing. And I'm not able to do the job of the subconscious in the deeper world. So we're both conscious in two separate spheres, right? But together we're one. Together we're part of a soul that has created both of us. So I make my subconscious very much a partner. I ask my subconscious for help. I ask my subconscious to change the patterns quickly, to show me the problems, to lead me to the results, because I truly believe that my subconscious can process so much more information than my conscious mind, meaning even the people who we call highly psychic and highly sensitive, their subconscious, my subconscious, has so much more access than what they can even verbalize and speak of, right? The field of information is vast and infinite. And so I truly believe that my subconscious knows how to open new channels and new pathways. I just got to let it know what I want. And so when I do past life regression, I'm connecting with my subconscious and saying, show me the patterns and show me how we do it better. Show me what we do better. And then I very intentionally ask for those patterns to be improved and ask for what will be good for the two of us, me and my subconscious, right? Me and my soul. And yet I always come from a place of, and I know you can do better than what I'm imagining, right?
Absolutely. So is your subconscious your best friend?
Well said, right?
That's a really good distinction, actually, because I think the way that it's been couched in many ways is that we're not aware of what it is and it's creating the reality. Well, that could be kind of scary. It's like, okay.
And unfamiliar, and I don't have a relationship with it. And most people think of the subconscious and hypnosis work as, let me jam in there, in that place of nothingness, let me jam in what I want. Why would we think of part of our souls as that, right?
Yes. No, that's brilliantly stated, actually. That just shifts, just the word shifts. And I love that the acceleration that you like to do it quickly. That's exactly where I come from as well, that we've been slow in learning these lessons, humanity, all of us. And it's time to live in the field of potential, to realize we're here for quantum creatorship. We're here to own our power. We're here to love our subconscious. Our subconscious is us. It's an amalgamation of millions of lifetimes of experience.
Very true. And you know, as we speak about this quick shifting, I will be amiss if I don't share with you how delightful it is for me to recognize that I'm not going anywhere, right? I didn't call customer service and say, hey, you guys messed up. I didn't do anything. I didn't go anywhere. In other words, the work with the quantum is very inner work. It's very present. So we don't cross through space and time to get an outcome. The outcome is instant because the only place I gotta go is within. And so that's what makes speed very doable, because it's not like I am trying to move fast. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not moving. I'm not trying to necessarily change, because if I put these pieces in between of steps I got to change through in order to get to the outcome, I'm creating time and space. So let me give you an example of what I mean. If I want to, years ago, I was living in New York City, and it was January, and it was this very cold winter where I didn't even want to be there, right? Everything was cold and frozen outside. I was sitting one day looking at the snow on the ground, and I was thinking, I want to be in California where it's warmer. I want to be in LA. I want to be able to watch the sunset every night as I walk the beach. I want to smell the ocean air, right? And I'm just imagining how much warmer it is and how much nicer it is. And so now I could have created the steps of saying, oh, well, maybe I should look for Airbnbs or for a hotel. wait, but that's extra expense. Okay, maybe then I should look for more income and to offer a product so that I bring in more clients. Or, okay, well, then what product should I sell? What should I do? I went through none of those steps because that's creating time and space, right? I'm creating steps that I need to cover so that I can get to an outcome. Quantum creation is about possibility. What is the outcome that I want? So I sat there and I was like, I felt the sand between my toes. I felt the delight of watching the sunset. And so this is what I did then. I literally imagined pulling this energy out of my chest and I threw it out into the quantum field. And I said, you figure it out. This is my desire. And very quickly, within a matter of a couple of weeks, a girlfriend invited me to stay in a house that she had rented. And the house was this multi-million dollar house on a private beach in Malibu. And I had a room where the window was right by the end of the sand. And on the other end of the sand was the ocean, right? And so, of course, I would walk the beach every day. And of course, I would watch the sunsets. But I'm giving you this as an example of how I didn't go through the middle steps. I went to the end. And then I didn't even try to figure out the how. I really just felt the feeling of, oh, this is what I want. Now, universe, you figure it out. So now, why would I be scared of speed? You see, why would I be scared when I know that where I end up is going to be good for me? Because I already said what I want, and I already believe that life loves me. I already believe that my subconscious loves me. I already believe that my soul wants to go through, grow the best life through me, right? The divine wants to create and express through me. So I see everything that I desire is a sacred guidance, right? That download from the quantum saying, this is a potential, this is available. And so if I just catch the sacred guidance of that desire and I feel it and I own it and I allow myself to live in that potential, why would I be scared of things changing fast? In fact, I welcome it. I'm excited because I know that in the moment of them changing, I'm going to end up where I need to go, right?
Very true. And your inspiration is part of the potential of the field manifesting and showing you. And I think the big thing here that Mira is showing is the trust. You actually trust and surrender that your desire can be fulfilled instantly or as needed, if it's in alignment with you at that moment in time. Clearly it was. So it's a beautiful way to look at it. It's about the alignment with the field and with your inner being.
And you know what I've been thinking lately? If my trust in the potential is strong enough, then I'm not worried about how and when and time, because this is really what gets in the way of so many of us. And this is where the negative patterns creep in. This is where we allow that which hasn't been cleared to creep in and make us doubt. Because if my trust in the outcome is so certain, then I don't worry how or when or is it ever going to happen. So here's an example. If I really believe that I'm going to have the most extraordinary relationship and a man or a woman, a partner who fits with me, who is everything that I want, who makes me feel loved the way I want to be loved, who gives me what I'm looking to receive as a feeling, as an experience, if I fully trust that, then I'm going to go about my day, just loving my day and celebrating what is coming. But if I haven't done the abandonment work, if I haven't really filled up my own cup to say I am enough, if I haven't quieted my own dragons and demons, right? If I haven't fed them love and compassion and turned them into loving puppies, then I will use this time to kind of like go back into the problem and lose the potential. And the quantum field is, wah, wah, oh, you want a problem. Okay, well, here's the problem.
Yes, the door slams and the problem instead of the potential emerges. I love that distinction too, that we're in a time of consciousness where if you can make that shift where you understand this is a potential, it is not a problem. It's something that allows you to expand your reality instead of contract it. It is, but how do you expand it? And that is the sense of well-being. We expand by connecting to the well-being that's available in the moment, right?
Isn't it interesting that when we feel good, when we're in that energy of well-being, we deal with problems, with challenges, with challenging people, with so much more grace and ease, and things actually work out faster and better. So the feeling of well-being, I love that you brought it up, because it's so essential to us being steadily grounded and clear-headed, right?
Clarity, especially when you're dealing with quantum creation, clarity is the new currency in my, that's my interpretation. Because when you realize it's not going to be the physical money, it's not going to be a pen or a microphone or whatever, I'm just using examples in front of me, it is going to be the clarity that creates.
And so in the story that I shared with you earlier, where I was so in the confusion and the questions of, do I want this, right? As I was in the middle of that problem and how the next day everything unraveled and I was like, wow, this is surprising. And still, even though it felt that that was the end of that situation, there was no place else to go. I've been told no so clearly, this is not going to happen. Do you know what I did for the next couple of days? I still kept asking, but what do I want? I didn't say, how can I fix this? I didn't say, oh, this is over. Oh, poor me. I was told no. Instead, I was sitting there and I was literally, if somebody were looking at me, they would have been like, are you unwell? Do you not process reality well? Because you were told no, and no is a final answer. Instead, I was sitting there and I kept saying, but is this right for me? Because I know I can have this. I know I can make it work. But then I finally decided, yes, I can do this. I want this. And sure enough, it collapsed immediately back into my experience. And I was told a very severe no. And so where I'm going with this is to tell all of us, our power is extraordinary. Our ability to get what I want is extraordinary. The only thing we need is a clarity of mind, like you've been pointing out so beautifully, to know, what do we want? What do I want? Because as long as they have me on board, everything else doesn't matter.
That's so true. And feeling it. You also pointed out feeling what you want, feeling the sand in your toes, feeling the cold New York winters. I worked in New York as well, in Manhattan. The wet and the cold. And yes, feeling that, and then feeling the contrast and deciding, what do you want, Mira? What do you want? And I think so here's a new concept. What do you think of us looking at the quantum field as our best friend that wants to give us the nurturing? Whatever it is that's needed on planet Earth, it exists in the field. And once you collapse the time and space and you feel in your being what that would be like, you receive it before it's physically manifested. Mm-hmm. That's the key that unlocks the door. What do you think of that?
You said it so beautifully, receive that word. And I have to tell you, I've been thinking a lot about receiving without control. Because, right?
Yes.
So I've been thinking, well, how do I control my receiving? And obviously the first way I control it is by putting blocks in terms of making this box smaller of what's possible, right? Focusing on the problem. But then I thought of an even more profound way that we actually control our receiving, and it's by lacking faith of what's possible. And to me, this was a big, huge moment of like, Mira, how big is your faith? How big is your faith? How much can you really allow yourself to believe and trust in something that it's clearly not here? Clearly, nobody can guarantee it to you, especially you yourself through your doing, right? But are you willing to be that vulnerable and that surrendered to the universe in your faith and saying, I'm willing to receive that? It gives me chills just thinking of that question of how big can you make your faith? How strong can you hold in that faith?
I love that. How strong can you hold in the presence of your power also?
Yes.
Do you believe in yourself? Isn't that? And so what would happen if we totally believed? Where would humanity be if we totally believed that we could create the what would be optimal for us at this point in our human journey? What would shift in all of us?
What a good question.
Yeah, I'm just asking myself that. What would shift if we really, really believe we had non-resistant receptivity, as they say, to that's even just saying that, I feel the field expand.
Completely, right?
Yes. If we totally, I think children possess a certain amount of that. That's why they get so stubborn when the parents say no. It's like, no, I believe I can have that. And then you have all these tantrums because yes. they do. And what do? We squelch that. But actually, that could be a very positive thing, that they believe that they can have this microphone or they can have this, you know, car, whatever it is that they want. So we repress.
I work, as you introduced me, as a life coach, and I work with a lot of people with chronic or life-threatening illnesses. Mm-hmm. People come to me with thyroid issues. People come to me with cancer diagnosis where they've been told, well, they only have a little bit of time. So, but this is just two little examples. I really work with people with a whole array of physical ailments. And one of the biggest pieces of the work is always to awaken their personal awareness that they can heal their body. And it always is so delightful for me when not only a client tells me I'm healed, this is what the doctor said, but also the delight of, but more importantly, now I know my power. I know I can do this. So it truly, I mean, if you were to ask me, what is it that I really do is I empower people, right? Like I remind people of their power. And so that's really so beautiful how you spoke of children, because they play, they imagine things. They really go to the edges of what's possible and imagine some more. And I truly want all of that for us as adults too.
Yes. And so some of that is letting go of the conditioning, but also really realizing what you want. What is right for you at this time? Knowing, how do you help people to figure that out? What is going to be right at a certain stage or feeling of life? So as we incorporate our great quantum creator power, the other part of that, we have to really understand what it is that we want and need at this point. What is beneficial? What is going to really light us up? But how do you work with people to draw that out of them without a false thing like, oh, you know, I want a house on the beach. Well, what's that going to give you? You know, it's like, okay, that would be great. But what is it you really, really want to resonate with? How do you help people define that?
So it's always going to end up being a feeling. Always. Yeah. Right? Because any experience we want out of life is for the feeling of it, right? We want to be in a great relationship so that we feel loved. We want to be in a great relationship so that we use that relationship as an excuse for us to be happy, right? It's so simple. We want more money so that we have that sense of ease and freedom and limitlessness. We don't necessarily want the money. We want what comes after it. So in any outcome possible, it's always going to be the end result is going to be the feeling of it, right? So that's why when I was telling you my TikTok story, I highlighted the feeling. The feeling was ease. I just wanted the whole thing to be done easily, right? I wanted it resolved easily. And so whenever people are looking for the desire, whether it's big or small, and maybe this is a nice way to actually normalize our desire. I never thought of it. It just came through as an idea right now. Because you see, when we are looking to ask for something small, like I would like a cup of coffee, we don't see that as a big thing that we need to manifest. But when it comes to, you know, I have a cancer diagnosis and I want to be there for when my daughter gets married, I want to see my grandchildren. That seems huge, especially when a doctor has said, I'm speaking of a specific client right now, when the doctor had said this client, you know, the breast cancer has spread through your body. There is nothing we can do. We cannot operate on your ribs and on your hips, right? So, yeah. So the only thing we can do is here's a pill and go make peace with the rest of your life. And so when this person comes into my awareness, it really comes back to the feeling of, but what do I want? What do I want? So it's not so much the healing of the body, because the body will heal as long as you ask it to. The body knows how to heal. I have no idea how to beat my own heart, you know, yes. But my body knows. However, what I want on the other end of it is family connection, the feeling of being there, celebrating, love, sharing. So if I get to focus this client on her having that feeling, along with her knowing that the body's already healed, right? Holding that faith, of course we're going to get the outcome, right? So the desire is, yeah, tell me what you want, but let's also figure out what is the feeling that you get out of it? What do you want? And it's always going to be something very sincere, something very, very authentic, something very, very heart-based, heart-centered. And then, of course, the manifestation of the physical is of course.
Very true. Do you find it really pretty amazing how simple it is actually? Yes. When exactly, yes. As you were saying, it's like the feeling, yes. They want the feeling. They attach, you know, I think as humans, we've been conditioned to attach it to certain, you know, certain circumstances and sensory experiences, but it's actually so much simpler. That's what I think children teach us. It's so much simpler.
I've been thinking about that recently. I've been thinking how the older I get, and hopefully the wiser I get, it all seems pretty simple. It all seems pretty boiled down. Well, when I was younger, it always used to be about, let's turn this stone over and that stone over. Where is it? Where is it? And it turns out it's so much simpler. And now, of course, maybe it's simpler because I've done the work. I don't know. Maybe that's why it's easy for me to say, oh my God, if I can just get you to feel and get you to believe. So, yeah.
It is, it does become simpler as you understand the mechanics, I would say. However, when people are sort of addicted to struggle and scarcity, how do you get them to leap beyond, or do you allow them to be with that until they're ready to release that?
Oh, most definitely a significant chunk of my work, because, you know, both the coaching and the past life regression dives deep into that suffering, into those places of where we're not allowing ourselves to receive that which we want, right? Because that's what mm-hmm. suffering is. We're not allowing ourselves to receive that which we want because of the stories, and I'm not minimizing the struggle, right? By no means, I'm not minimizing the struggle. That's why a significant part of my work with every client is to dive into that suffering. And always, we end up making the same conclusion. The only purpose of suffering is to teach us not to suffer, to teach us to create better, right? To teach us to be much more careful with which horse do we give the bigger power in our chariot card? Do we give it to the black horse or the white horse? So isn't it wonderful when we think about those things to say, what a journey. What a journey. And it still continues.
And it's so much fun if you can see it as a journey that you're being taught in. You're learning in. You're learning to walk the destiny path of the soul eventually. And how do you feel about the guidance? You know, everyone has a guidance team. How do you feel that they nurture and are guiding us during this time of accelerated awakening? Do you feel their presence more in your life, in your clients' lives, or do you feel it's pretty much the same? How do you feel your interaction is going on that level with the spiritual, the non-physicals? I had no idea I'd ask that question, by the way. That's a new
I love the question. My deep, profound awareness of how connected I am with everything has come through having done a magic mushroom journeys. I have such a profound awareness because mushrooms are connectors. They're the original internet. They're the mycelium network that sends messages from and nutrients and all from one end of the forest to the other end where it's needed. So mushrooms are connectors. And I remember doing a mushroom journey one time and sitting in the middle of this journey and recognizing how I'm always heard, which to me, when I am just Mira walking down the street, buying groceries, living my normal life, right? It's not such a prevalent awareness of how connected I am, but there I am sitting on my couch during this mushroom journey. And I'm thinking, I am always listened to. Every thought, every feeling, everything I speak of is and think of is always registered. And when I say I'm always listened to, I don't mean the government. I don't mean some, you know, conspiracy theory. I mean the universe, life, everything is always responding to me. And so I don't think of my guidance team as necessarily beings. I think of my guidance team as everything, if that makes sense to you. I see my guidance team as the universe. I'm guided from everyone and everything in every possible direction. And so not only my personal guides, but not only my soul, but really everywhere. So I'm very aware that if I'm always listened to, then I gotta listen too, right? I gotta listen too, because it's always given. So I wanna catch it when it's given.
Oh, I love that in the moment. And that's so quantum, because actually it is an expanded field where the messages are coming in from a thousand directions, and discernment is key. And listening, learning to listen right now is, I think it's the nuance that at this time, if we can listen to our inner being and also, as you said, to the continuum, do you feel that ability to listen is one of the more important qualities? Listen to the inner being, listen to, you know, let's say you said you had a best friend who's giving you this little reminder of, is that the most important, one of the most important qualities of this transitional time, do you feel?
And yeah, I love that you're highlighting this. And I want to add to, as you are listening to, I also want to add, listening to the pattern we want to experience, right? Because, right, listen for the feeling, listen for the potential, listen for the pattern, because it's all here, right? It's all literally here and available. So if I want to collapse it into reality, I got to listen for a very specific pattern. And doesn't that require attunement and the discernment to let go of everything else? Isn't that a masterful place to find ourselves in?
It absolutely is. And it is, if you've ever watched some of, you know, the masters that sit on the, that's what they're doing in that moment. They're in that moment, precisely focused. Very few people understand this, that so they can change in a second, their mood, their, you know, one person comes up and they have to be angry with them for whatever reason. And then the next one, but they're listening, that's all they're really doing, listening, acting. And as they collapse their time and space, but I think very few people see that. What's going on with that teacher is that they've refined their capabilities to receive and not resist,
Yeah,
it's what we're here doing. And quantum creator sounds so fancy, but it's actually just an elevated way of being human and realizing you're a little more powerful than you thought you might be. You have a few more connections, maybe like some billions of them, like neurons. You have billions and trillions of connections being made all the time. So you've definitely expanded the concept. Is there something let's see how we're doing on time. We've covered so much, and I feel some of the critical moments to unpack them are this non-resistance to what's going on right now, just receiving it and watching everything we create as a manifestation, whether it's a home.
And I want to add to this, not watching and observing as a powerless being and saying, well, there's nothing I can do, but instead watching and observing, not pushing against what is, because it's a manifestation, it's an echo of a prior way of thinking. And because we're clearing our patterns, why would I go fight with what is, right? Like it's just an echo. Physical reality is just the slowest one to manifest down the energetic layers into a physical reality. So as I'm not pushing against what is, refocusing on what is it that I want, right? The pattern of what I'm looking to experience. So yes, most definitely, I feel like that's how we become extraordinary creators, quantum creators.
Oh, I love that. I love that. That's really beautifully said.
Honestly, I feel like this conversation could be called the handbook on how to become a quantum creator, right?
The handbook.
Right? If somebody were to just take down the points, and even though they were very much just points and thoughts that we shared with one another, you and I, if somebody were to just list them down, they'll literally have the step-by-step handbook on how to create life.
That's the title of this. Becoming the quantum creator. Yes, you wanted to be spontaneous. We just went into the flow.
There it is. We did it. Yes.
I love this. It's the handbook of becoming the quantum creator. And this also just came in, and experiencing your life as one of joy and expansion. Does that resonate?
Absolutely. As you see, the essence of life is not problem solving. The essence of life is actually pleasure, the fulfillment of all of us. Because think of a flower. A flower is not trying to do anything other than being the best possible flower. A dog is not trying to be a good dog. It's trying to be the best possible dog it could possibly be. And so all of it has that essence of the fulfillment of our greatest, for the pleasure of it, for the love of it, for the joy of it. So I truly agree with what you just said, the greatest we could be for the purpose of having an exceptional life.
That's it. Having an exceptional life. That is the purpose. Oh, I love that. And you're a great example of that, Mira. Your story and your journey is a great example. I didn't go into we did that on another summit, but what you experienced, that transition from being an attorney in Manhattan to becoming this amazing spiritual master. I want to thank you. Today has been a really fun journey.
It was such a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you for taking the time to be with us. I truly think you're an extraordinary woman in today's
world. Thank you. I look forward to us sharing this conversation with others so that they can dip into that bigger field with us and know themselves as the true manifestors and creators of joy, of happiness, of life they're proud to live.
Beautifully said, in a perfect place. Yes. Live a life you're proud to live. I want to thank you, goddess sister. You are truly amazing, extraordinary being.